We're going to read one verse out of Mark chapter 14, kind of a strange verse coming back from camp, perhaps, and then we'll get into this thought a little bit. So if you take your Bibles, if you're there, and stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Mark chapter 14, we'll be reading just verse number 7. Mark chapter 14 and verse number 7. Familiar verse from this story. The Bible says there, Jesus talking, "For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always." Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord God, we love you, and we thank you for today. We thank you for the young people's testimony. Thank you for this week that they had set aside to go to camp and, Lord, just be inundated with your word and with challenges, Lord, for their spiritual walk. Lord, pray you would continue the work that you began in their hearts, and we'll see fruit from it in the days, weeks, and months ahead. Lord, pray with us now as we take this simple thought from your word that we would be challenged by it. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I was telling Pastor right before the message that I picked a somewhat interesting title. The title that I'm going to give you here in just a minute is not doesn't mean what's going to come to your mind when you first think of it, especially because Pastor preached against my title this morning in his sermon this morning. And so my title is "You Can Do What You Want." Obviously, in his message this morning, talking about Christian liberty, that does not mean liberty does not mean you can do whatever you want, freedom to do whatever you want. But that's not the same as talking point with this idea that I want to share tonight. It actually is very complementary to what he was saying about the idea of Christian liberty, because he quoted a verse from Galatians. Does anybody remember what verse that was? It was Galatians, right? 5:13, and the verse, does anybody know it? Where's Mr. John? He's got a quote. There, he's back there. You know the verse for us? "Called unto liberty, use not liberty for the occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." That's the idea that we're going to get at with our passage here. I want to set the context of this passage and this story, what's going on here. This story is repeated in the book of Matthew, Mark, and John, and each one looks at it from a slightly different perspective, gives us a couple different details. So taking from all of those accounts, I want to kind of summarize and set the stage for what's going on here. It's 6 days before the Passover, and Jesus is at the house of Simon the leper. When you see Simon in the Bible, our tendency is to jump to Simon Peter, because that's the most well-known, but there's actually about 7 or 8 different Simons that are used in the Bible, and this is Simon the leper. I'm assuming somebody that Jesus had healed during his ministry, and he's hosting Jesus and his disciples, as well as Lazarus and his sisters, for a dinner. They're having supper at their house. We learn from, the book of John, that Martha is serving this meal. We do see Martha serving a lot in the Bible. So Martha is serving. Lazarus is here. Lazarus, who had been dead and raised from the dead. We're assuming Simon is there as well, since he was hosting the meal. And while Martha is serving, Mary enters the room, and we know Mary has a tendency towards worship. She enters the room with a box, an alabaster box that contained a pound of spikenard, and it was valued at least 300 pence. One account says it could have been sold for 300 pence. One says it could be sold for more than 300 pence. 300 pence would be the equivalent of about a year's salary for a common laborer. It's a very valuable ointment that she has here. As Olivia was talking about, your precious ointment, what you choose to use that on. As Mary comes in, she anoints the feet of Jesus with the ointment and then wipes the excess with her hair. As she's doing this, the sweet-smelling savor of her sacrifice, her devotion, and her worship fills the entire house. Then she takes the box to the head of Jesus and breaks it open, spilling the remaining contents on his head. As I pictured that that image of her breaking that box and pouring it out, I'm imagining that oil coming on his head and running down his face onto his beard, even beginning to drip onto his garment as the as that oil flows over him. And I'm reminded of a passage in Psalm 133. Psalm 133 said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard," even Aaron's beard, talking about the anointing of the high priest, which Jesus is our high priest, "and went down to the skirts of his garments as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." That picture from the Old Testament of the high priest being fulfilled here as Jesus' head is being anointed and as it runs down his face and his beard and his garments. Now, all of this is transpiring under the eyes of Judas. He's watching with a greedy eye. He's been evaluating the resale value of the ointment as she's been pouring it out, and thinking to himself how much that could be worth and what you could do. And he's been thinking to himself how wasteful it was to use that on Jesus. You know, that's the mindset of this world, even the mindset of some Christians and even some of our family members, that when you decide to give all for Christ, they think of it as a waste. As I look at our young people who are up here making decisions and making commitments, that I'm going to make a commitment to God, to give my life to God, to serve God with my life, there's going to be people that are going to tell you it's a waste. But the one that said it was a waste was Judas here in this passage. As a young person in high school, I was getting some coaching from one of my teachers, and they said, are you sure you want to go into pastoring? It'd be almost a waste of your intellect. You could go in, be a doctor, you could go in, do whatever, and that's even at a Christian school. They were just saying, wouldn't it be a waste to use all this for Christ? No, absolutely not. The precious ointment that God has given us, we never waste it when we pour it out on Jesus Christ, as Mary found out here this night. Judas thought that the use of this ointment was a waste, and he made the suggestion that could have been sold and given to the poor. Now, as we know from the book of John, he wasn't suggesting it could be sold and given to the poor because he cared about the poor. He cared about it because he was the one who collected for the poor. He had the bag, and he was a thief, the Bible tells us. That's what his interest, where his interests lie during this encounter. As another side note, kind of a little bit, we'll just step into a political things real quick and get back out of it. Taking money, somebody else's money, and using it to help the poor is not a new idea. Judas had it way back here. It's not new. It's not progressive. It's been around for a long time. And that was Judas saying, let's take her money and let's go use it to help the poor, as he's suggesting here. The book of John, as I said, he tells us that he is a thief and he held the bag. Judas's complaint caused the other disciples to murmur against Mary as well. You get one person complaining and it's going to spread. We get one person discontent and it's going to cause other people to be discontent as well. It's why it's so important to guard our attitudes, especially around in our families and in the house of God. Then Jesus replies to her. Most of this I'm pulling from the passage here in Mark, but I did pull in some other things from John to add to what Jesus said that would get the whole context of his discourse here with the disciples. It says, and Jesus said, let her alone, why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could, she is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Jesus arose to Mary's defense, saying it wasn't a waste, when she used her precious ointment on me. It wasn't a waste to use this on me instead of giving it to the poor and giving this worship and devotion to God. I've heard dozens of messages on this text and on this passage, the story of Mary breaking the box and pouring it out and giving it all to the Lord, as was mentioned in Olivia's testimony tonight. This week, as it was said, we heard a message from Pastor Lewis entitled Precious Ointment. When he was reading this text, one phrase stuck out to me that I'd never noticed before. That's in verse 7 where it says, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good. Now, this is only recorded in Mark's account, and Mark isn't usually the go-to. Usually people go to the book of John to look at this account, so that might be why I hadn't noticed this phrase before. But he says there to the disciples, whensoever ye will, you may do them good. As we said at the beginning, each gospel looks at Jesus from a different perspective. They're not contradictory to one another. They're supplementary and complementary to each other. And when Mark is looking at Jesus, he's looking at Jesus through the lens of Jesus as a servant. And when he's looking at Jesus as a servant, this phrase stuck out to Mark in the idea of service, that whensoever ye will, you may do them good. What Jesus was doing here was giving them open-ended permission to serve others. You can serve others whenever you want. You can do good to others whenever you want. You can help others whenever you want. You can fulfill God's will whenever you want. And that's why I get my title tonight, You Can Do What You Want. If you want to serve God, nothing's stopping you. If you want to do something for God, there's nothing keeping you back. If you want to serve others, there's nothing holding you back but yourself. That's what he gives here to the disciples, an open-ended permission to serve others. As I was meditating on this phrase and thinking about the decisions that the kids have made at camp that you just heard about, I was challenged with this thought that I want to give you tonight, that you can do what you want. Oftentimes, as a young person, we get the idea that, you know what, I'm gonna serve God later. When I get out of college, when I get out of high school, when I'm done being a camper and I'm starting to be a worker, when I get out of the youth group and I can be a worker at VBS, when I get down the road, once I get married, once I have kids, once I retire, we can always be looking ahead. But really, there's nothing holding us back. If we want to serve God, we can do it. If we want to please God, we can do it. If we want to live for God, it's something that we can do. The problem is our want. our desire? Is the desire there? Because if you want something bad enough, you can make it happen. I've seen young people that want something in particular they want to buy, and they can scrimp together, they can save, they can do without, they can find extra jobs, they can work hard, and they save that money to get that thing that they want. If somebody wants to lose weight, they can do it. The only thing holding them back is themselves, and so that they can get into a diet and a regimen of exercise and working out and being disciplined, and they can get to what they want. The thing is, you got to want it bad enough. So what do you want when it comes to God? What do we want when it comes to our service for God and our service to others? Because there's nothing holding us back. Jesus said, whensoever you will, whenever you're ready to start, you can do it. You can do good. Whenever you're ready to start, there's nothing holding you back. It's that simple. No one's forcing you to do anything. No one's forcing you not to do anything. You have the ability to choose. Now, I'm not saying, I'm saying you can do what you want, but I'm obviously not encouraging you to do whatever you want. Because what we want to do usually isn't what God wants us to do. So that's the idea of the whole message, is we need to change our want. When we say we're going to do what we want, we need to have the right desires in our heart to please God with our lives. In this context, when he says you can do it whenever you want, that's in the context of serving others. For a Jew, serving others and giving to the poor was a big part of Judaism. As we've been reading in Deuteronomy, you see how don't get the last gleanings of the field. Leave those behind for the widows and for the poor. Don't go out a second time into your field, for that's to be left for the widows and the poor. When you go through a person's field, you can take and eat of the fruit of the field as you're walking by, but you can't gather it for yourself. Giving to the poor was a big part of Jewish culture. And as we're coming up 1 week away from Passover week in our story here, Judaism takes a high priority in giving to the poor during Passover. They're supposed to set aside extra meals, have room for people to join them, go out and give gifts. Even to this day, that generosity to the poor is a big part of the Passover celebration. So even here, as he's saying this, you can do this, you can serve God, you can give to the poor whenever you're ready. As Pastor mentioned at the beginning, that he had offered to let me sit aside tonight. He would cover the message for me. I know Pastor Gus would have been willing to do the same because it has been a very busy couple days. Didn't sleep very much this week at the summer camp and working hard and things going on at the house when we got home and a lot of things going on. But we like to make excuses. We can always make an excuse for why we can't get started, why we can't do something for God. But the fact is, I wanted to preach tonight. And even if I didn't sleep last night, I was going to do it tonight because that's what I wanted to do. I want to serve God. When you get a desire, when you get a desire to please God, there's nothing that can hold you back except yourself. If there's anything I've learned preaching to Baptist people, is that we can't make you do anything. You're going to do what you want. We can stand up here, we can preach until we're blue in the face, but we can't get people faithful in attending, serving, giving, or any other aspect of walking with God in their Christian life until they want it for themselves. We'll give you the encouragement, we'll give you the material, we'll give you the Word of God and what God says about it, but until you make the decision, this is what I want for me. And that's what's so fun about working with young people, because you can see the moment in a young person where they get this, where they say, you know what, from now on, I want to serve God. Andrew mentioned Josiah Davis. He's a young man that grew up in Mount Zion, not of Brogue, but up in Denver, Pennsylvania. And he grew up there in that church, and he was always a mediocre young man. I spent a lot of time with him at summer camp over the years, encouraging him, and he got up and gave his testimony. You can see that he's been changed. He got saved in college, and he's back now. He's given his summer over, instead of working a job, to work in a church plant in Mannheim, helping out Pastor Michael Hunt. Our teens were down there in May. And you can see, as he talks, the light in his eyes, the fervor in his heart, because he's decided that what he desires is God and pleasing God. And it's so fun watching a person make that turn where, you know what, instead of pleasing myself, I want to please God. Instead of living for me, I want to live for others. You can see that desire change in them. Jesus told the disciples here that they could give to the poor whenever they wanted. I don't remember any record. You can share with me afterwards if I'm missing a story. As I thought through the Gospels, I wasn't thinking very clearly at the end of this week, but I thought through the Gospels, I couldn't think of any instance where the disciples initiated generosity, other than where they tried to do it with Mary's money here, where they initiated generosity. Even times where Jesus told the disciples, go out and feed them. They made excuses. Well, we can't. We don't have enough bread. We don't have enough money. Do we do this? Let's send them home. They made excuses about being generous, but Jesus said, whenever you're ready, whenever you want, whenever you decide that's what you want, you can help and serve others. I'm going to look at three areas tonight of doing what you want. The underlying theme throughout the whole message is that we need God to change our wanter, so that we want what he wants for us. Number one, you can do what you want. You can do what you want. As we see here, it says in the verse number 7, whatsoever ye will, whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. That word will means to decide. Whenever you make that decision, whenever you get to the point where that's what you want to serve God, to honor God, to please God, to serve others, when you get that to that point where you decide, then you can do it. You can go forward with what God has in store for you and God wants to use you for. Mary decided, well, it was her will to use the ointment on anointing Jesus. Simon Leper decided he was going to host Jesus and the disciples for the meal. The disciples decided to complain about what Mary was doing instead of looking to what they could do for the Lord. They were complaining about those serving and sacrificing. In our passage, this is very individual. He says to Judas and to the group that they each individually can choose to serve God and serve others. Whenever you're ready, I can just see him. John, whenever you're ready. Peter, whenever you're ready. Judas, whenever you're ready, you can do good to the poor. Whenever you will, whensoever you will, you have this opportunity to do good. It's a choice that we have to make. I can't make it for you. Young people, your parents can't make it for you. Your church can't make it for you. Your pastor can't make it for you. You have to decide, this is what I want. I want God. I want to serve God. I want to please God. We often get too wrapped up in what other people are doing instead of what we are doing for God. Well, I can't join the choir because I can't sing as good as Bradley does. All right, so I'm gonna sit out. I can't go soul winning because I've never done it before. I can't talk to somebody about the Lord because I don't know what to say. I can't because whatever excuse you want to make or hindered by what somebody else is doing, God says it's a decision that you have to make for yourself. Forget everyone else. What are you doing for God? If it's going to be honoring to God, it has to be in submission to His revealed will in His Word. There are a few parameters on doing what you want and pleasing God. First is that it has to be according to God's will and God's Word. We talked already how giving to the poor was something that was part of God's command for the Israelites already. I've talked to some people before who say, this is what I want to do for God. And I say, well, according to the Bible, that's not something God wants you to be doing. And challenging him on that. So when you get a desire, you need to make sure it's a godly desire. Make sure it's a desire that God wants you to be doing. Helping the poor, I said that already there. If we're going to please God by making the decision to serve him and others, that should first happen in and through our church and pastor, that we can serve God. We can be a part of what God is doing here at Hunt Valley Baptist Church. So the question is, what do you want to do? If the disciples really wanted to help the poor, the only thing that was stopping them was them. They thought that it was a lack of funds. Well, if we had her money, we could go serve the poor. Well, Judas had a bag. There used to be stuff in it because he was a thief. I don't know if there's anything left or not. But the disciples, it wasn't the funds that were keeping them from serving God, because Jesus said here, whenever you want to, you can go help the poor. Meaning they had the ability right then. They could have gone out and helped the poor. They had it in themselves. They didn't have the excuse of not having funds. Jesus told them it was a lack of will. You aren't doing this because you don't want to. And the same thing is true for us. If we're not serving God, it's not because of this excuse or that excuse. It's because we don't desire it. It's something that we don't want for ourselves yet. Do you want to be faithful in the house of God? The only thing stopping you is you. Do you want to read your Bible every day? The only thing stopping you is you. Do you want to have a prayer life? The only thing stopping you is you. Do you want victory over sin? The only thing stopping you is you. If we want something and it's within the bounds of God's word, whensoever ye will, you may do them good. So you can do what you want. Secondly, you can do when you want. You can do when you want. In dealing with young people especially, but also with older people, there's a timidity about stepping out for God because they don't feel ready. I was talking to a friend of mine just this past week at summer camp, a young man that goes to Mount Zion, and he got married recently, and we were talking about having kids, and he told me how somebody had told him that if you wait to have kids until you're ready, you're never going to have kids. Isn't that the truth? Those of you that are parents, you're never ready. You're never ready to deal with a Titus. You're never ready to deal with Andrew. And your kid's name is fill in the blank there. You're never ready to be a parent. But I told him, I said, you're not ready, but if you wait till you're ready, you're not going to have kids. And God will make you ready. God will prepare you for what he has in store for you. Fear of failure keeps most people from ever attempting or achieving something for God. As young people, when you go to summer camp, you make a decision for God, you're going to face opposition. You're going to face failure, but that's okay. The Bible says a just man falls seven times and riseth up again. You make a commitment to God, you're going to fail. But don't let the fear of failure keep you from making a commitment to God. And the same thing, church family, I would like to do this. I'd like to help at VBS, but I'm afraid if I do, I'm not going to be very, very good at dealing with the kids. What if I get a problem kid? What if I misspeak? What if I say the wrong words in the song? What if I mess up on the decorations? Don't let fear of failure keep you from attempting or achieving something for God. As a young person, I made countless commitments to God about my Bible reading. Several of the young people mentioned it as far as having a walk with God, about having devotional life, having a prayer life. And I can't tell you how many times, countless, as a young person, that I went to an altar and I said, God, I'm going to read my Bible every day. And I get in there and I start reading my Bible every day. And I remember one time specifically laying on my parents' bed, having my Bible. I hit Leviticus and I shut the Bible. Like, I can't do this. All right, but you know what happened? Next Sunday, I was back in the altar saying, God, forgive me. Help me to read my Bible every day. Countless times that I've fallen and countless times I've gotten up. How do I get to the point where I can read my Bible every day? How do I get to the point where I can take a thought and write a devotional to share with the church family out of the Word of God? Because hundreds and hundreds of times I've got up in the morning and forgotten and had to get forgiveness from God and had to ask God to help me not to fail again. Help me not to go weeks on end having forgotten to read my Bible, having gotten to something that was too challenging, too hard, and I failed. I had to get with God and say, God, help me to do it again. Help me to get up again. Help me to start again. The only thing that's stopping you from having a walk with God is whether or not you want it, whether or not you desire it. Whensoever you will, Jesus said. Whenever you want. Whenever you're ready. You don't have to wait to serve God. You don't have to wait till you're more talented. Wait till you're more eloquent. Wait till you're more disciplined. Wait till you're richer. Wait until you have more time. There's nothing stopping you but you. Jesus said, whensoever ye will, ye may. You can decide to do something now. You don't have to be a perfect singer, soul winner, giver, usher, teacher, Sunday night attender. God never asks more of us than we can bear. God's never going to give us anything that's too hard for us or too heavy for us. God will equip us when we follow His will. God equips those that He calls. God feeds where He leads. There's lots of little sayings like that we talk about when it comes to ministry, that God's never going to give you something that's too hard for you to bear, too heavy for you to bear. He's going to give you the strength to go through the trial or to go through His will for us. You don't have to be older, smarter, richer, more eloquent, or more perfect to start serving God and serving others. God will grow you along the way. Now, you can't come down next Sunday and say, Pastor Derek, I'm ready to serve God. I'm going to take over Junior Church. Doesn't work that way as far as that goes. But you can come in and say, can I help straighten up chairs when class is over tonight? Can I come pick up the trash? Can I vacuum before we start today? Can I talk to one of the kids after class and just see how they're doing at home and at school? Can I get a list of the kids that come on Sunday morning and can I pray for them? You can start doing something. You can buy candy. You can start the process of becoming a helper. You just need to decide, this is what I want. I want to serve God and I want to serve others. Normally I get permission when I do this, but I'm going to pick on Miss Kim a little bit here. And she works in junior church with me. She's been in there for about 3 years now, working at junior church. I don't remember exactly when she started, but she's been down there helping in junior church. And she's grown a lot in the work she can do. And I would be comfortable. She's proficient now. She wouldn't think so. But I'd be comfortable leaving the class with her if I had to be out of town and it was her week to be there. She would be able to handle the kids, to run the game, to tell the Bible story, to lead the songs. Again, she doesn't think all that, but she's grown to the point where she can. Why? Because she said, this is something I want to do. I want to be involved in these young people's lives. And she cares about them. She prays for them. She works hard. She shops yard sales for game ideas, always coming up with things to do for the young people. But what did it start? Started with the desire and getting in and, you know what, just come up today and lead the verse. That's all you need to do. All right, let's do one song. You think you could come up with a game? I want you to read this story. I want you to, now let's see if we can do pictures with the story. We grow from where we start serving God, but it starts with a desire. Don't wait for someone else. The disciples weren't interested in helping the poor. This is something they thought Mary should do. Maybe they thought that they were the poor that Mary needed to help. The disciples obviously had given up a lot to serve God, and so, hey, the 300 pence there, that could have been given to the poor. That's what Judas was thinking, at least, when he did it. If you want to do something to serve God and others, it's not a matter of time, it's a matter of desire. Whensoever you will, you may serve God when you want. And then the last one, you can do with what you want, with what you want. What you have is what you can serve God with, is the idea there. Mary decided to use her ointment to sacrifice for Jesus. And there's some things that God has given you and I to be stewards of in our life. Things that we have that we can use for God if we want to, if we have that desire. God's not going to force us. God's not going to force you to use your time. God's not going to force you to use your talents. God's not going to force you to use your treasure for Him. But our heart should ask the question, what does God want me to do with all this stuff that He's given me? This is all my stuff. Well, what about what does God want me to do with it? Well, how does God want me to use these things? Mary saw the ointment sitting there, and I don't know how she got it. Maybe it was a gift. gift from a family member. Maybe it was a gift from a fiance or something like that. She had this very valuable ointment, and she'd been saving it. It was still in the box. It was unopened for a special day, and maybe a special party or get-together. She had this ointment ready to go and ready to be used, and she looked at it while Jesus was there at the house. Or they were getting ready to go to Simon's house, actually. So when she was leaving her house, her eyes fell over on it on the shelf and saw that ointment. And I've been saving that for a special day. I should bring that and pour that out on Jesus. It wasn't hers. It was God's. She was taking care of it. And she was willing to look at the most valuable thing she had and say, you know what? If that's what God wants, he can have it. You think about that, a year's salary for a common laborer. I think the average salary in America is somewhere around $40,000, $50,000. That valuable of a piece of ointment sitting on the counter, and she said, I'll bring that and give it to God. If that's what he wants, I'll take it and I'll give it to God. What are we unwilling to give to God? What's God not allowed to have in our lives? Because it's too precious to us. God's given us the things that we have that are precious. We shouldn't be unwilling to use any of those for him. When I was in college, I had a vehicle when I was a teenager that my dad would not let me drive to school. He told me I couldn't take it to school with me because he thought I'd break down somewhere in Tennessee, and then he'd be getting a phone call. So he said, you can't do that. They went and dropped me off at school, and I start looking for a different vehicle. If I can't take that one to school, I'm going to sell it. I'm going to buy something different. Well, I was out without a vehicle for a while and went home for a spring break and got a really nice truck. I was the only vehicle I've ever really loved. That was a beautiful truck. A friend of mine told me he was going to buy me a bumper sticker that said, if you can park it and walk away without looking back, you got the wrong truck. That was the vehicle I had as a college student. Now, when I was on the bus route, I was in a very not nice area where it was very normal to hear gunshots as we're out visiting people and inviting kids to church. Lots of rough area in the neighborhood that we were in. And we had my bus visiting partner, he also had a truck. He didn't have a nice truck. We would take his truck back and forth to the bus route. Well, after the idea was when I bought another vehicle, we would just start switching days. Before, I was just paying him for gas to help out with that as we're going on bus route. But once I got a vehicle, he'd drive 1 week, I'd drive the next week. Well, that was the plan before I realized how nice of a truck I was getting. And so I got this really nice truck, and I said, you know what? I think it would be better if we kept driving your truck into the bus route, and I'll just keep paying you for gas. And he ripped me up one side and down the other about, is that your truck or God's truck? And does God want you to keep it at the dorm, or does God want you to have it out on the bus route? And I had to get right with God because I had something that I wasn't ready to give to God. I wasn't ready to let God have. I can't take that in the bus route. It's going to get scratched. I can't take that in the bus route. It might get stolen. I can't take that. Somebody might spray paint on it. I never know what's going to happen when I go into that area of the bus route with my nice truck. But I had to get to a point where I said, you know what? It's not mine. It's God's. And I'm not going to hold it back. If God wants me to use that to serve him and pick people up for church, I'll let them use it. They'll spill soda in it. They'll leave trash in it. There'll be chips ground into the seat. But it's going to be used for God because it's God's truck, not my truck. What do you have that you're withholding from God because it's something that you don't want him to have? If you wanted to use your things for God, you can. The only thing that's stopping you is you. When it comes to serving God and serving others, you can do what you want. But we need God to work in our heart to change our desire to where what we want is what he wants, and we get that desire to please God. There's a story told, I believe it was about Socrates, where a young man came to him and said, Socrates, you're considered this great philosopher. I want wisdom. And he said, meet me down at the ocean in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. Goes down the ocean, going to meet with this great philosopher, and they wade out into the water, and Socrates grabs the young man by the back of the neck and sticks him under the water. Holds him there just, 30 seconds or so, lets him back up and asks him what he wants. And the young man says, I desire wisdom. He grabbed him by the neck and stuck him under the water again. All right, that's about 45 seconds this time. Pulls him back up. What do you want? Spit and sputter and eyes water and salt in his eyes. Not sure what's going on. He says, I want wisdom. And he grabbed him by the back of the neck and stuck his head under the water again. Hold him about a minute this time. Lets him out. Said, what do you want? He says, I want air. He said, when you want wisdom like you want air, that's when you can have it. And when you want God like that, when you desire to serve God like that, that's when you can have it, whensoever you will. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. As we said at the beginning, we love to make excuses. What's your reason for not serving God and others? Whatever the excuse is, it boils down to you're going to do what you want. So tonight, what do you want? I told the kids at camp this week that if they're going to live for God, Each time the Bible is preached, they need to ask themselves, what am I going to start, what am I going to stop, or what am I going to change in my life? That's being submissive to the hearing, the preaching of the Word of God. Serving God and others in submission to God's Word is available for all. The only thing stopping you is you. Maybe there's nothing in you that wants to do anything for God. If that's the case, you need to confirm your salvation and then ask God to change your wanter. I remember as a young person asking God almost weekly basis to give me a hunger for His Word. I wanted to want it. Question tonight is, what do you want? The only thing that's stopping you is you. As our song of the month this month has been, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? You're never going to do your best until that's what you want. I'm going to close in prayer, then the pianist will play. If God spoke to your heart, you come forward tonight. Lord God, we love you. God, we thank you that what you desired was our salvation. What you desired was our holiness. What you desired was that we would be reconciled to you. And Lord, you let nothing stop you from going to the cross to purchase our salvation. God, we let so many little things that are temporal, that don't matter in light of eternity, keep us from serving you and serving others, Lord. I pray tonight that you would work in our hearts to change our desire, Lord, to be, instead of seeking after the things of this world, to seek after things of God, to serve you and to serve others with the time, the talent, and the resources that you've given us, Lord. Pray you bless this time of invitation. We thank you for your time around your word tonight. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.